you appreciate the benefit of the challenges that we have in this country. People copy what they see. If today the fashion is green, everyone wears green.
Mm.
The internet is one of the biggest things to help Africa because people see what's out there. Some of the things that we take for granted is not the norm. But at the same time, those are some of the things that we enjoy when we
When we see the bad roads, we complain.
Yes. Mm. But the bad road is part of the culture because it's a culture that gave way to the bad roads. There was a saying that I got here, I learned here that you don't know there's a law until you're in trouble.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. It'll come after you.
Some of the human resource issues is the fact that they don't have work experience.
They don't, yeah.
With high-end clients.
If someone is coming in to do business in Ghana, with all the cultural understanding they have of the UK and what they don't of Ghana, how do you want them to go about it? Now, we're just opening up this episode of Connected Minds with a good friend of mine.
Definitely.
He's done so many things. He's done so many things that I can't even say it all today. He owns a school in Ghana. You know, it's a hard thing to do, but this man has done it. All the way from London, we have Ludwig Jr.
Thank you for having me.
Bro.
Connected Minds. Love the studio. Love the concept. And if anyone could do it, it has to be you. So listen.
Yo, thanks, man.
If anyone can do it, it has to be you. Thanks. So very, very proud to be here.
And, you know, I've known this chap for years.
100.
You know, when I was into music, he shot my first official video.
100.
Right, directed it. You know, I was so proud he did it because he actually did it for free. You know, 100. He didn't charge a dime for it. And I have to say this out there because that was very important to me at the time. And that song ended up being a very big song that helped my career at the time.
Definitely.
Now, Ludwig is an entrepreneur. He's a writer as well. He's got an amazing book called Untangling Process, right? And thank you for making that happen because this meeting had to happen.
It had to happen.
And, you know, I'm looking for more episodes after this.
Definitely. You know?
So today I wanted to, first of all, talk to us about some of your challenges that you faced in business.
Some of the challenges that you face in business.
Yeah.
First and foremost, that I believe many people face is your own mindset.
Okay.
Because you're coming from somewhere different and you're applying the same formula in another country. And I think sometimes when people talk about challenges, they talk about the systems in the country. So they'll say, I'm from London, I've come to Ghana, Ghana is X, Y, Z, blah, blah, blah. And this is not working, that's not working. But in the same vein, there are people here doing similar business or the same business as you, and they are winning. Mm. So what's the issue then?
Right.
The issue is you. You are coming with a different formula. That formula works over there because they have a different structure over there.
Right.
This is a different formula. Same business, different formulas. So if you take maybe for the drivers, those who drive, if you drive in different countries, you have speed limit. But everyone goes to Germany on the Autobahn. Why? Because you can drive as far as you can. It is still driving.
Mm.
Different formula. So if you're from Germany and you come to a country with limitations, the problem is not the country. The problem is you.
Right.
You have been transferred your skills to where you are.
Okay.
And there are certain things that you have to do different, which is challenging because we don't know it. We have not been brought up that way. Our minds are not programmed that way. So we come here with a program that works and we apply it to a similar business and it doesn't work because we have a different program. And we don't understand that we have a different program. We want the whole country to have our program.
Right.
I'm not saying everything is perfect, but we're coming with a program that's not adaptable. There are no extensions to the program.
So what do you think in the process of transitioning to from any country that a person is to Ghana, what should they understand though?
You need, and I talk about this in my book, you need to understand yourself first. You need to understand you.
Okay.
You are the person that's coming to do the business with different people. You are the coming that's coming to. So I come to your house today and I said, shall I take my shoes off?
Right.
I didn't say, and I took it off and you said, no, you need it. for the cameras and blah, blah, blah.
Mm.
I didn't say, but I'm from London. I don't take my shoes off. This is long.
Yeah.
That's the programming.
Right.
That's the programming. I came, I saw what you did.
Mm.
That's what you do here. Maybe if I met you in London, we don't have to do that.
Mm.
But you have a reason for doing that here. I don't understand it. I may not agree with it, but you have a reason for having taken your shoes off.
Yes.
There must be a formula to that.
Yes.
So I do. I took my shoes off. And you said, no, you need it. Cool. So the challenges that I have had was about transforming my mind to where I'm at. Understanding why people do things. I don't have to agree with why they do it. But if I know why you do something, I may be able to ask myself, can I adjust to that? Maybe that's beyond my values. Maybe I can't do that. Maybe that's too much. But if I understand that, okay, people do certain things for certain reasons, and I ask myself, what's the value base of that? Is that something I can work with? Is that something that goes against my beliefs? Is that something that goes against my business? Is that something that goes against how I see my vision? If all of those things don't work, then
I see.
So it's very simple.
Right. So we need to work on ourselves.
That is the biggest problem.
Right.
The biggest thing.
And if we work on ourselves, then we can adjust to any problem.
That's all it is. It is very, very simple. It's not as big as people make out to be. Oh, I went to Ghana and I saw this and blah, blah, blah. But you went to a place where you have challenges, but you have got people in that country that are doing things that you admire. So how are you going to get to the same level as them if you've got challenges? Because they don't do things the London way.
Right. So in a scenario where, since we've been doing business in Ghana, we've probably fired over 15 employees. Right?
Oh, yeah.
You've probably done more.
More than
that. Right.
About 70.
Well, there you go.
Mm-hmm.
Now, do you still think that you have not gotten to the place where you understand yourself enough to have not sacked them, but then understood why they did what they did?
So I understand why I sacked them.
Right. But you don't understand them.
I do understand them.
Okay.
Because you went to school in London.
Yes.
So you did work experience at 16.
Yes.
The people you're employing have never done that.
Okay.
So the first time they're getting a job, 23, 24, 25, that's them working in Tesco Sainsbury's. That's them at 16. So the first mistakes they are making is in your business. Your NRA folder.
Okay.
Yeah. So the first job they are getting where they can make those mistakes, where they need to be shaped up, they are not that young.
You say that. Very interesting. You see, you finish.
Let me land. And I can see, I think I know where you're going.
Okay.
Because, so for many of them, it's their first job.
Yeah.
Now you can say, but they've had more jobs. But have they had the job with you as a boss?
No.
And your standards?
No.
So then my answer is correct.
Especially with London standards.
So then my answer is correct.
Yes.
They haven't had that job.
They haven't. Yes.
So they haven't had the job. They haven't had experiences. They haven't had the training that you see as standards.
Mm.
So the first time you meet them, even if it's 8, 10, 12 jobs, maybe it's not to your standards. So then that's the first time they've had a job to your standards. So then they are not good enough.
Okay.
Once you understand the reason why they do what they do, you understand how to manage it.
Yeah, that's true.
That's all true. It is very, very simple. It's a very simple formula.
But you say that. But then the problem is then, the same problems that starts at a lower level, it keeps happening at different levels.
Yes.
Different levels. And all the way to the top leadership.
And it will
same
do.
Process happening.
It will do sometimes because the people at the top are not enforcing some of the systems that they have seen or understood.
Okay.
Because how can I say this? People copy what they see.
Most people, yes. Yes.
If everybody's walking on the right, everybody will walk on the right.
Yes.
If everybody's not walking on the right, everybody will not walk on the right. So you got to look at where you are. What happens the most? If what happens the most is the system that's not yours, then that's what people are going to do.
Okay.
So people copy what they see. If today the fashion is green, everyone wears green.
Mm.
And this is just clothing. So when we talk about employment, talk about human resources, talk about skills, talk about ethics, talk about efficiency. If everybody is efficient, everybody copies efficiency because that's all they know.
Yeah, because
if some people or most people are not efficient, most people copy what is not efficient. So I'll leave you to answer that question. So you know, you've been here longer than me. I'm just a visitor.
Right.
So I think you can see where I'm going.
Yeah, I
the
understand.
Issue is not necessarily that people don't want, because if people, the people you're having challenges with, not you per se, the people that the employees that people have challenges with.
Yes.
When they leave this country into another country,
they behave differently.
Why is that?
The systems, in fact, forces them to behave like that. So because that's what everybody is doing.
So then that goes back to what I said.
It's a mass psychology company.
People copy what they see.
Yeah. I see what you're...
That's all it is. Yes. People copy what they see.
I never thought
it's very simple. We make a big thing out of it. People copy what they see.
Which is why you're saying that it has to be enforced from the top down.
That's it.
So people can behave in a certain way.
But then the issue with some of the enforcement is that if I am your boss and I enforce standards and I do training and I've made you very, very intelligent and I give you all the information you need and I make sure that you hold me accountable, it means I have to do more.
Yes.
Do people want to do more?
Here?
I'm just asking an open question.
Right.
Am I going to give you all the tools and the resources and the information and the training and the education that you need so that you can question me and tell me to do more? I don't know what the answer is to that.
Yeah, I'm not sure. So, but there's something we need to think about.
So the issue is not necessarily that maybe people don't want to do stuff, but if you empower your people and put them to high standards,
Becomes a big problem for leadership.
Okay.
Yes.
So then do you want people that are not educated then?
Yeah. We keep them there. Right. The pyramid concept.
So it's all about understanding why people do what the things they do.
Right.
Does that mean that things can't change? No, it doesn't mean that. I think the internet is one of the biggest things to help Africa. Because people see what's out there.
Right.
People can ask questions.
Right.
You can provide a cheaper training.
So where you've come from, a culture where young ones cannot question adults. You see that around a lot of Africans, right? How then do you think that is going to work?
By you showing them that they can question you, by making people around you see children question you, by you putting them on a pedestal where you empower the children to ask questions, by you making sure that you're not in the position where you are following that system that you've come to see.
Yeah. You being a man in education.
Yeah.
I'm hoping that this is some of the things that you are educating the kids on, because
we do.
It starts from those kind of circles. They spend more time in schools than at home.
We do, but sometimes the parents are the issue.
They don't carry them at home.
No, they don't know it. That's not their culture. That's not how they grew up. So if you didn't grow up a certain way, if you didn't see certain things a certain way, it's very difficult for you to accept that things are different. And I had a perfect example where I had a guest come to the school, did a quiz, gave the child £5. This was about maybe 2018. School just opened, came in, did a quiz, well done, high fives, gave the child £5. And I happened to be out of the school at the moment, so I was coming in. And I said, well done, tell your mom that you got £5. And she said, the teacher took it. I said, teacher took it. I said, go and get your money back. Like casually, just go and get your money. She said, no, I can't. And I had to go.
Yeah.
Where's the money?
That's it.
Did your child.
Yeah.
And the teacher said, oh, I didn't want the child to get used to money. Whatever that was, that's fine. But to me, it's about understanding. For me, my biggest learning from that is that the child can't challenge the adult. But I had to make a point and say to the child, ask for your money back.
Mm.
And that took about 8 minutes.
Wow.
Because that's not a done thing.
Right.
I said, you got to ask your money back. I don't want them. You have to ask your money back. You have to go to the office, ask your money back. So some of the things that we take for granted is not the norm. But at the same time, those are some of the things that we enjoy when you come here. Yes. Mm. And we have to be very, very honest about that. Some of the things that are not the norm are some of the things we enjoy when we come here.
So where do we keep the balance? Do we let it stay the way it is?
It depends.
So we can carry on enjoying it?
No, you can still
instigate the change that we want?
What happens is that to empower people, you have to be very confident in yourself.
Right.
And many people, one person, whatever the ratio is, I don't know. But people feel good when they come home because you get put on the pedestal.
Oh, yes.
Yes, as the guy or the woman or you get called names that you never get called before. Mm. You get called boss, director, madam, missus.
Yes.
Those are feel-good things.
Yeah.
But you have to be confident in yourself to be able to say, nah, I'm good.
Yeah.
And that is a very hard thing for many people to do.
But I mean, that's what we have, you know, here in Ghana, right? When you go to India, sir, right? You speak to Indians online and then they, sir, sir. Mm-hmm. So that's their culture as well.
Mm-hmm.
And there are certain things that are cultural things which would be very difficult to take out.
Yes and no.
Okay.
Yes and no. That. Well, I'm not denying what you're saying, but I'm saying that yes and no.
Right.
You know,
right.
Because my experience is that there are many benefits to the cultural experiences here.
Okay.
For some of us.
And we enjoy it.
And we don't want to change it.
Right.
But in the same vein.
When we see the bad roads, we complain.
Yes.
Mm.
But the bad road is part of the culture because it's a culture that gave way to the bad roads. Because if there was accountability, then maybe you wouldn't enjoy the benefits of the culture that you did. So you have to be very, very reflective, extremely reflective of what am I enjoying that I shouldn't be enjoying? Maybe if I wasn't enjoying that, the roads would be done.
Yeah.
You know, and I always say, I don't want to focus on what may appear to be negative because it's not. Ghana is not a negative place.
Nah.
The issues that we have are personal things, not being able to integrate, not being able to go through a process that we know.
Mm.
But there is a process in Ghana.
There is, yes.
We may not disagree with that process, but there is a process.
Mm.
You know, there was a saying that I got here, I learned here that you don't know there's a law until you're in trouble.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. It'll come after you.
Yeah. You don't know there's a law until you're in trouble with the law.
So the public education about the law is weak.
It's weak.
Yeah.
But people know it's there.
Mm.
And everybody knows that there are certain things you have to do. So for me, I think Ghana is a wonderful place if you take time and you are patient. I think in terms of challenges with human resources, I think the challenges is based on not understanding,
you know,
understanding what we are coming to face. And I think if we look at the experiences we've had, like I said, many of us had work experience.
Oh, yeah.
At 16, how many children here in school have work experience?
Yeah.
And we don't think about it. We take it as a given that they do have it. And even when we are here, it takes a long time for people to say, no one thinks of it, but I've got it in my book. Some of the human resource issues is the fact that they don't have work experience.
They don't, yeah.
With high-end clients. And that's all it is.
But there is a scheme, though. I think where the first time they ever get work experience is when they finish university. It's a bit too late, isn't it?
Well,
that's a national service thing.
I don't know if it's too late, but is it efficient? That's what it could be. Your first work experience could be 25, 26, 27.
Mm.
Is it efficient to be able to use that experience to attract foreign investors? So that I don't have to be on the phone at 8 o'clock in the morning, 6:55 in the morning. And also culturally, sometimes you know, I've had a situation where I've been to people with different businesses and they complain that, oh, my staff don't smile at people and they look down and they don't say anything.
Confidence is not there.
I think that's cultural. I don't think it's
confidence. You think it's cultural?
So if somebody meets an adult, what do we do? We bow down.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
So, and that's across the board, right?
Yeah.
So why do we think that same person that understand that this is how you behave with adults is suddenly going to change when they see you at a business and go, hey, hello, how are you? Are you okay? That's not what we do culturally.
Yes, but then where did you learn yours from?
Because I'm from a different place.
Ah. Mm.
So I'm bringing what I believe is good, what I believe is efficient, what I believe customers want. But the same people who are demanding certain things of services are the same people who demand respect. So which one do you want? Hello, good afternoon, how are you? Okay, you want the respect, but you want customer service. So who breaks down the difference to the person who lives in the culture where we respect the adults, we put a hand on their back and we look down?
Mm.
If that's what everybody else does, how do I know what is the norm? Because then I need to see everybody else do it for me to accept that that's what it is.
Right.
And I get into lots of debates with people and people say, no. Let's understand where we are.
Right.
Do everyone say, good morning, sir. Good morning, madam. They bow
that's
down.
That's our culture.
Hands in my bag. Look down. They don't look in your eye. But as soon as that same person is outside the business, we expect that they have to just learn to switch. It takes a while to be confident to know that I can do this.
And again, do you still think we have cultural problems when it comes to that? And then also maybe the education system is not...
I don't think it's a cultural problem. I think...
That's just what it is.
I think the issue with the culture is that we haven't transitioned to understand that in business you do this.
Right. Right.
So the culture is not an issue. But it's understanding that, oh, actually, when I'm out to work... I can do this.
Mm. It's allowed.
That's not clear.
Okay.
So people are doing what they know as the norm. Oh, wow, big director is here. Let me say good morning. I suppose say, hey, how are you? Oh, wow, nice shoes. Who are you?
Which is nicer.
But who am I to talk to you like that? Am I your level?
Mm.
Can you speak to me like that? Mm. How dare you even look at my face? So we have certain things that is... The older people, the big men, the CEOs, you don't talk to them.
Hmm.
You don't say hello to them.
Fear and control.
Yes. You just keep walking and you say, yes, I'm a sir. Maybe if they say hi, they give you something. But what we are saying is that we want our staff to engage with them freely.
That's what we want.
But the culture doesn't say that.
Yeah.
And in London, you can say that to any director, hey, how are you, mate? You're right. Boom, boom, boom.
You know?
And they expect that. That's the norm.
Yes.
So that's
yes.
happens here. But yes. we are bringing that culture over here.
And that's why we are struggling.
Where it's not the norm. So the people, the customers want customer service, but the customers also want customer service with respect. So what I'm supposed to bow down, yes, sir. And hey, how
and
are you?
Still be able to.
How do you do that?
Right.
How do you do that? If you've never seen it done. Wow. So the issues are not as big as it is, but it's about understanding that we are trying to merge two cultures together
right.
to flow. But if I don't do that in my day-to-day...
Let me get you right. So what you were saying is that when people transition to Ghana, it should be, let's forget everything we know there.
No.
Is that what you're saying?
Don't forget everything you know there. But don't understand how you blend it here.
Right.
Don't forget everything because we are coming from a process-driven place to a culture-driven place. We are process-driven. We don't have relationships with people. People don't speak to their neighbors. That's what people do over here. We stop. We speak. Good morning. How are you?
Yeah.
How are the kids? We communicate.
Mm.
You know, there is a connection here. We don't have that connection there. We are more focused on the process over there. We are more focused on the relationships here and the culture here. And we're trying to merge the two.
Mm.
And it's about, and once you understand both, then you can learn to see how best
right.
do you do that.
Right.
Because some of the things we ask people to do, if the person don't have money, don't give them no medicine. Oh, but that's my neighbor. But they don't have no money. So we're process driven.
Mm.
People are family, culture driven. What do you mean I shouldn't give my neighbor medicine? They will pay on at the end of the month. Process driven, but didn't have the money.
Mm.
We don't see the person.
Right.
They see the person. Just give them. And also, if people understand the economic situation and they are culturally driven and family and friends driven, then they may want to give you some credit and say, we'll give you some time.
Mm.
Because I'm not earning that much money. So I can empathize with the fact that you don't have money. But if you're coming from a place where you don't empathize, there's no empathy.
Mm.
There's none. We are process driven. Person came, they bought medicine. Did they pay? No. What's wrong with you? We're not interested in the person's story.
Right.
We don't want to know what was happening there.
Mm.
The process is they buy medicine.
Yep, they got to pay. Yes, yes, yes.
But I'm from a place where, you know, we go to the same church or the same association with the neighbors and your kids.
Yep.
Whereas from our place, it makes no difference.
Nah.
So there's a clash of systems. I wish I brought my headphones, my untangling process.
Yeah, you know.
It's about trying to understand that we have two different cultures. It doesn't mean people shouldn't do their jobs. But if you understand why the person didn't charge somebody and you understood that, then you can use that framework to say, listen, I understand that that's your friend and that's your family and it's difficult and, you know, you've known each other from 1842. But listen, this is the business.
Right.
So you what you need to say to the person when they come is, if it was up to me,
mm-hmm.
I'll give you the medicine for free. But you see my directors?
They ain't going to ask.
They're not going to ask that. So I can't give it to you.
Yes.
So then you absorb your staff away from the responsibility.
Right.
And now you put it on the director.
Mm.
So I'm still friends with you. But because of my director, I can't give it to you. Then they are cool. But we don't explain things to them like that.
But then when the director comes
mm-hmm.
and then you haven't gone through this process, right? And then you say immediately that this person came to buy amoxicillin mm-hmm. and I gave it to them for free.
Yeah.
I'm sacking you that same day.
Yes.
Because that's what, I don't understand that.
Yes. So you don't understand that. They also don't understand you.
No.
So they are looking at you as this wicked man.
Yeah.
You
know, 500,000 they're probably just thinking this guy's an idiot.
Yeah.
Right. But then in my head, I'm thinking, well, I bought that with money. I'm going to pay you at the end of the day.
Yeah. So they don't understand that process. And you also don't this understand the process.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No.
So when you say to your staff, when they come and they want medicine, tell them, my director said, I can't give it to you. But we see, if this shop was mine, I would give it to you.
You from the situation.
That's all it is.
Mm.
But you have to understand why people do things.
Maybe if we had this conversation 4 years ago, I wouldn't have sacked as many people as I did.
It is. You have to understand the culture you're in.
But then,
over a period of time, the staff get confident to be able to see it,
right?
Because then they know that okay, it's not about me now. I can use my director's cover. I know I'm working, but if I've never done it before. Now you can say, but people should know this.
Yeah.
Should they? Where would they know it from? Well, how did other people get jobs? What are the routes for them to get the jobs? Did they go for an interview and they got a job and it was given to them due to their competence and their references?
Yes.
You don't know that. So every staff you take on board, you may have to start the process from scratch.
So I'm still trying to, I mean, I love some of the things you are saying, right? I'm learning so much, but then I still want to get you. If someone is coming in to do business in Ghana, with all the cultural understanding they have of the UK and what they don't of Ghana, how do you want them to go about it? Take their time to understand the people first?
So you need to understand where you're going.
Okay.
You can't just come and say, I've got this idea and I'm going to bring it here and I'm going to make it work. Okay, fine. So you've seen a formula of a business model somewhere else and you're bringing that over to another country.
It's going
to
work.
To another country. How do you know they like what you do? How do you know? Where's your research? And who are you researching from? And what do you know? Because I can send you a document of a research paper, but it's a piece of paper. How do you know that's true? You have to experience where you're at. And it takes time. It
takes time.
It's not easy.
How long did it take you to understand the people of that you work with?
Maybe 4 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
I still haven't understood them yet.
Yeah, I don't have hang-ups. I don't have issues. I was driving yesterday. Someone pulled out, just kept driving. I got a new staff member from London. And they were like, oh my God, did you see that?
Yeah, you're just like, it's all right.
It's a non-event. Let's go. Non-event? Yeah, it's a non-event. Are you alive?
Yeah.
How can you do this? Why are you here?
Okay.
Why are you here? Why are you not
in London?
In London. There is a reason you are here. So one of the things I say is that if you go to the highest point in London, I mean, I don't know, the Shard, or I don't know what the tallest building is, Shard, London Eye, Gherkin, I don't know the tallest building. And I said to you, with everything you can see, I'm going to take 70% of what you can see away. I'm going to remove 70%. Okay. And you're going to have 30%. And I said, would you invest in this place? Everyone would say yes. We are 30% in Ghana. We are not at 70%, 80%, 90%. We're not there. So you will have challenges. You will have challenges because we haven't gone through the process to the point where we are very developed and, you know, have processes in place. And you're probably going to say something about independence. We're not there. And it's very difficult for us to accept that we're not there because it's almost like we should be there.
Right.
But we are not there.
Right.
That's the reality. Should we be there? Yes. Yes.
Are we
there? No. So the sentiment of we should be and we had independence, amazing.
We should throw all of that away.
But we're not there, are we? So why are we holding on to, but we've had this many years of independence. Are we there? No. That is a fact today.
Right. So I want to take you back a little bit, right? From the time when you made a decision, right, to write a book.
Yeah.
And the time and the processes you went through.
Yeah.
To the release of the book.
Yeah.
What were some of the mental things you were thinking about? The problems you were solving in your mind? Because I can imagine some of the things you were just...
Some of the things I've said here should be in my next volume too.
Right.
It's not even in there yet.
Right.
Because the problem is ourselves. And it's very hard for us to accept that. Yes. Mm. Because we believe we're coming from a complete process system. We're coming from a place where if we did everything we did in London, in Ghana, that would be great. If we did everything we did in Ghana,
we wouldn't be in London.
Half the buildings that people are building would not be built.
Yeah. It's true. It's true.
Half the businesses will not go up. And I say as facts, half the documents people have will not be had. And when I say this, people are like, oh, but why do you want to say that? I say, listen, we are bringing something that we've learned and we appreciate that if we bring that to home, to our home, it will help. And we will also have a good life. But we have to be honest with ourselves. And that is difficult.
It's very difficult.
We have to be 100% honest with ourselves. We can come and open businesses here. Mm-hmm. We will have challenges because the people that we are engaging with have got skills that maybe currently we don't appreciate.
Okay.
And we want them to adopt our system because our system is easier for us to follow. Wow. But our systems may not be appropriate sometimes.
Mm.
Sometimes, not all the times. Sometimes. If we're in a system where people are struggling economically, do we want to cut everyone off? Maybe not.
Maybe not, yeah.
But that's all we know.
Yes.
Do people pay for stuff when they buy overtime? Yes, maybe we don't have a system set up for that. So setting up a business here is a great idea.
Yep.
It's a big learning curve, but it is one that we don't know because if you think about it, and I keep saying this, if you're standing at the highest peak in England and you can see everything, and I say take 70% away, if you take 70% away, then it means there are gaps in the system.
Yep.
But if you would invest at the 30% because you've seen 100%, then what I say is, and when I say 30%, people get a bit emotional. It's just an analogy. It's not. But if you have 30%, then it means you have a while to go.
Right.
And it means that over time, you are part of building that infrastructure and the fabric of the country. Mm. But that is the hardest part.
That's the hardest.
Because the systems are not in place. The systems are not in place.
And that's what we are facing.
Yeah, we are in the, it is, we've come from a systemized process system where that's all we know to now, why do I have to do this? Why don't they do that? What, but if they did all those things, some of the businesses that open will not be open.
Not gonna last.
No, you can't open it. Because you need to have your permits, you need to have this, you need to have that. Let me check your building. It's your, you know, so
have
people,
you
if you look at
soil test, fire assessment.
All right.
Yeah.
So if you look at maybe people who build houses and rent them, for example, there are regulations as to the size of the room and how many people should live there.
Yes.
How many people follow that? How many people are property millionaires over here?
Plenty.
All right. So all I say is, let's not bash too much.
Right.
But let's focus on what are we giving back here? We're part of a system that's very difficult because we spend a lot of time to do something that's very small. But in doing that, we are helping people within our environment. Not long ago when I was here, people were not, drivers were not giving way to people to go past. You get insulted.
Yeah.
People stop and it may be small, but for me, I've seen so much transitions that if you live in Ghana, you will not see it.
Right.
Because the transitions and the changes does not give you a bigger salary.
Right.
But I've seen so much little things that is moving in the right direction.
Mm.
But where we're coming from, where we are very process driven, it's nothing.
Yeah.
It's long.
Yeah.
And it's very frustrating.
Yeah.
So I don't see...
But have you realized that, take for example, people go to the UK and then they still behave like they're in Ghana. For example, people go to the Ghana embassy in the UK to get their passports. And the relationship they have with these people at the desk is crazy. I mean, I think I've probably just been there once. It's crazy.
Because people do what people see. So if I associate you with this type of behavior, it doesn't matter where I meet you. That's what I'm going to show you.
Is that because those people have just taken the you know, those cultural things from here, there, and then they don't want to change? Those people are not, they don't live in the UK. They're just working there.
I associate you with the culture. So I treat you with the culture.
Right.
That's all it is.
Right.
People repeat what they see. You are from this culture, so I will treat you with this culture.
That's why
I'm not really like that, but that's how you are.
Okay.
So people associate the people with the culture. Very simple.
That's true.
Yeah, it's a very simple thing. It's not as complicated as people. It's very, very simple. People associate people with their cultures.
Wow.
If I shout in this office or whatever I believe you do is what I will repeat when I see you. So if we are not careful and we don't sell a positive story about Ghana, we will end up receiving negative feedback and negative reactions and negative performances and negative outcomes, because that is what people hear. And it's a very difficult place to be.
Even when you
experience it and you have to project because now you have got business interested.
Yeah. One more thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I want to talk about this. You know, people come to Ghana and all they want to do is do business. Have you realized?
Yes.
That almost everyone that is coming, they want to do business.
Because we've told them we can do business here. That's what we have told them.
Yes. But then don't you think that's also the problem? Because, you know, entrepreneurship or being a businessman, it comes with a certain level of
madness.
You know what I mean? Like, you've been doing business all the way from the UK and then you're doing it in Ghana. So I understand that it's in you. But people are 9-to-5 people, right? And then all of a sudden, they hear Ghana or they hear any part of Africa and I want to go do business. And then when it fails, they blame people for, you know, telling them to come and do business. What do you think about that?
That's a tough one. I think people see the opportunities.
Right.
That's in Ghana.
They don't see where they are. They don't see any opportunity where they are.
They see where they are, but the entry barrier is too high.
Okay.
So the entry barrier to business outside Ghana is too high.
Okay.
or maybe outside Africa is too high. So they look at what fans they can get, what they can, investors they can get, whatever it is, whatever money or funds they can get, they look at that and they look at where they can start business in. And Ghana is very attractive. Ghana speaks English. Ghana is like a pathway to Africa.
Mm.
You know, for most of us, 6 hours from London, America's come here, like that's, you know, Europe, they can come here. They have flights.
Yeah.
They know the language. They know one or two Stoneboy and, you know, South Korea and stuff like that, you know. So, yeah. And also beyond the return, in the year of return,
yeah.
We, you know, the government or the organization, whoever it is that's in charge, has done a very good job of selling Ghana to people outside. So people are attracted to that. But at the same time, I think the challenges that Ghana has makes people believe that it is very easy.
Okay.
But that's based on the challenges.
Yes.
People look at the challenges and they believe that it's very easy because the challenges we have makes it anybody can just come and do something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So in one vein, it's a good thing that it means that we've got challenges and people are bringing solutions.
Yep.
But I think not everybody is ready.
Yes.
And because not everyone's ready and people have been sold Instagram from maybe different people. And also people who do business lie.
Right. Right.
People who do business, they lie. They will tell you things are going great when it's not. Because they've made an investment and they don't want to tell you the truth. So I think there are people who are not qualified to do business, but they've got interest in Ghana.
Okay.
And sometimes you have to understand that you need to get Ghanaians to run the business for you. And that's a challenge that people don't want. But then are you going to run the business and keep failing? So you need to find the right people on the ground, but you don't know the right people.
Yeah.
You're coming with your systems and you're very focused on how you want things to be. But you are talking to people who don't know what you're talking about.
That's true.
So it's a very difficult place to be. But I believe it is only because we are going through the process of shaping up.
Okay.
Should we have done that already? Apparently, yes.
Yeah.
But here we are. So there are people who just hear of a business idea. They think all you have to do is just have X, Y, Z. But they don't think of the process of managing the small things. You know, even if you're doing a delivery business.
There's a lot that go into it.
Because you don't, because you are applying the system over there to here, you don't know the opportunities you're giving people.
Yes.
And you don't know the loopholes and the gap in your business.
Yeah.
Because you don't know where you are at. So, and I've had a radio station, I've had a water company, I've had a microfinance company, I've had an ice company, I've had a catering company, and they all failed.
Wow.
Every single one of them failed.
That's amazing.
Five businesses failed.
Very good it failed because you learned.
Yeah.
I've done plenty and it failed.
Yeah, failed. I learned. Like, failed.
Yeah.
So you have to go through certain things or just speak to people who know what they're doing. But there is also a feeling of supremacy.
Right.
When some of us are coming from outside, that they don't, they believe they don't need to speak to nobody. There was a feeling of, ah, but this is easy. All you got to do is shop a shop.
Yeah.
It doesn't go like that.
It's not like that.
You know, so
we first had our pharmacy in East Legon, right? And we paid loads of money to put that place up. And I tell you what, it failed. Now, there was one night I woke up around 3 a.m. Then I told my wife, I'm looking for another shop. She goes, well, at this time? And I said, yeah, because I can't sleep. There's no point just staying in bed. Got up, started looking for shop. And that's where we are now. And it's been much better there.
Mm.
Sometimes when people are coming, they think, you know, Cantonments or East Legon or Laboni or this. I think they're just going crazy with those kind of places.
Because
thinking,
that's all the places
zone
they
one,
know.
Zone two.
Yeah. That's all they know.
And it just doesn't work out. You see how many shops, when we drive down the road, how many shops have closed down because people, you know, East Legon or Cantonments, things like that. So I think you're right. People really need to come in to understand the system, understand what is going on here.
That's the hardest
and
part.
And then decide.
That's the hard part.
Yeah.
Because people also don't have time.
It's true.
How much holiday do people take? How much annual leave are you going to take? How much paid leave are you going to take?
Yeah.
Yeah. And you are going to come and you're going to have conversations with people and they don't know you, so they may not take you seriously. And you have to understand that there are many people who come and don't do anything serious.
It's true.
So if you're like a consultant or you're somebody who engages with the diaspora, how many of those have said they're going to do X, Y, Z and not done that? So people also need to trust those of people from the diaspora who said they're going to do stuff.
Yeah.
That also takes time.
Yeah.
We need to trust you when you said you were coming to do this.
Yep.
Are you really coming to do it or are you just saying it because you did that? So there is a lot that I believe, from my perspective, I believe that sometimes we don't tell the whole story. Sometimes we don't tell the whole story because we believe that we're coming from a place of supremacy. And sometimes when we do tell the story, we wait for the story to get so bad.
Okay.
That we're telling the worst story ever.
Right.
So I think we need to have conversations about, because as challenging as it may be, there are also wins that nobody hears about.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Yeah.
There are wins that nobody hears about, but those wins are not necessarily can be quantified in monetary terms. So you don't discuss those things. Yeah. But in between everything we do, there are wins. And people also don't understand the currency value.
It's true.
In my book, I talk about...
Big time.
Yeah. In my book, I talk about the value of one is one in every country. The difference is your exchange rate.
Wow.
One is one wherever you go.
It took me 2 years to understand that.
One is one.
Otherwise, you're going to be overpaying for everything.
Yeah. One is one wherever you go. The difference is your exchange rate.
Right.
You may be spending your equivalent of maybe £100 at a bar. But that is maybe someone's salary times
yes,
two.
Yes, yes.
So how do you think the person sees you then? I see you as a rich person.
Bosu.
If you look at the flight of a plane ticket, how much is that? That's probably someone's a whole year's salary.
Yeah.
So if we look at, if we take the average salary to be £2,000, £2,000 in the UK, and someone takes 10 months of their salary to buy a plane ticket, you can't tell me you're broke.
Nah.
So you, when you are walking, when you come off the plane and people say you're rich,
well,
it depends on who that person is, because when they calculate the cost of that plane
ticket,
it's cost
you a lot to come here.
So it's cost you 10 months of my salary to come here. It's relative to me. So you are rich. It's not about where you are coming from and how much things are hard for you and where you've come from.
Yeah.
For me, your plane ticket is 10 months of my salary.
Yes, yes.
I don't have 10 months of my salary to jump on a plane, to pay for visa, to buy clothes, then have spending money.
Yeah.
So why are you not rich? Why shouldn't I want to take money from you? Some people don't understand that. The financial axis, I call it the financial axis.
Right.
You need to understand the financial axis of the country. And why people believe you are of a certain caliber. Because you may be looking somewhere higher than where you're coming from. I want to have a house here. I want to drive this car. I want to do this. But maybe everyone else around you, to them, you've got something.
Yeah.
And we don't understand that.
You are a chairman.
You don't understand that.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you think that we should engage ourselves and our diasporan friends a lot more in conversations around coming over to do business and things like that? Like one of the ones you did where I came.
100%.
Yes.
I spoke to someone 2 days ago. It was yesterday. I can't remember what day is. And they've been here for 9 months and they still don't get it.
No, it's going to take them a little bit more time.
Yeah, because they're coming from a process-driven system and they don't understand why things need to change. You have to be very, very adaptable when you're on the ground. Easier said than done.
Right.
Have to be very adaptable, extremely open-minded to things that you don't understand and look at things and go, there must be a reason that person did that.
Yeah.
And want to find out why they did that.
Yeah. I learned that the hard way. It took me 5 days. Every day I spent at least 6 hours at the NIA to get my Ghana card done.
Yeah.
Because of a mistake they made that they could not recognize.
No.
And each time I had to pay.
Yes.
Each time.
Yes.
The traffic So I understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
It is what it is. That's what the system gives us.
But also the system doesn't want to stay the way it is. The system is trying to change. But when it hasn't changed, you know, there's a saying that, you know, bad news travel around the world quicker than good news can tie shoelaces.
Yeah.
So people will talk about the things that bothers them than the things that are working for them.
Mm.
But there are many things working for people that they don't talk about.
Yes.
Because it's not an issue.
Mm.
The things that work for me is not an issue. The things that don't work for me is
that's
an
issue. That's what the problem is.
So the issue is about trying to be open and transparent and talk about the opportunities that Ghana can afford you. Yes, you have challenges, but there is a reason you are coming here. Yeah. What is your why? Why did you choose Ghana? And then people will tell you the reason why they chose Ghana. Well, then stick with it. It will take some time.
Yeah, and go through the challenges.
Go through the challenges. Because if you were in Ghana from birth or from an earlier age, the challenges will be the norm. Maybe you are in a different
country. You wouldn't even call them challenges.
No, because then you know how to deal with
them.
So you're coming from a system that's different and you just want to just get on with it. If that was the case, and if that's how it was, then it will be late for everybody coming in.
Right.
It will be too late. Because half the people that left will be here.
Mm.
And where would your slot be? Where would your space be to do your business? If you think about it, if everyone who came in was able to, like I said, my first head teacher, how many years ago, left.
Wow.
She's in London now, working in a school somewhere. She just couldn't hack it because she couldn't understand it. So she's left. But if you think about the fact that if it works for everybody who came
in, there wouldn't be space.
There wouldn't be space for nobody.
Yeah.
There'll be a queue at the Ghana embassy in every country.
Yeah.
Every country outside Ghana, there will be a queue to get a visa. There will be a queue because it's working.
Or just like the queues to go to the US. And
that's the point I'm trying to make.
Yep, yep.
That's the point I'm trying to make. But people shouldn't be discouraged that they're doing good things. It's very, very difficult. And it feels lonely. It's a very lonely journey.
Very lonely.
I think yesterday I put something on my status, that ambition. It's very lonely because no one gets you. All the people that you think gets you are seeing you as you're doing well.
And that's it.
Yeah, you did good. What's your problem? What's your problem?
They don't think you have any problem.
Why should you have a problem? Yeah. You have a shop, you're selling stuff.
Yeah.
You live in a nice place.
Mm.
What's the issue?
Mm.
Your issue is not relative to nobody.
It's true.
Your issue is only relative to you.
Yeah.
So we are talking about understanding where we are and understanding who to complain and who not to complain to.
Right.
Because sometimes people from the diaspora complain to the wrong people. In the country, the people in the country that you're complaining to cannot, they are nowhere near your level.
Okay.
But you want them to understand your frustration. How come you need to pay more money? You've increased salary now, boss. You will get that.
Yeah.
So we have many things that we bring to Ghana. We have many opportunities that we get in Ghana. Yeah. We have great people that can be trained to do amazing things. We just have to understand why it is that people do some of the things that they do.
Yeah.
And it's not all bad news. But we talk about the bad news because those are the things we face that frustrate us.
Yes.
But it's not all bad news.
It's true.
We've got amazing talented young people.
Oh, yes.
Fast growing economy in Africa. I believe that's still the case.
Yeah.
And there are things that we see it, and because of our processes, we see how quickly it can be done. And we can analyze the outcome if it's done.
Mm.
So if you did that road, it means people spend like 10 minutes instead of 25 minutes. They get to work quicker.
Right.
You have more deliveries. Right. People make more money. We can, just by looking at something, just analyze.
Yeah, yeah. But that's not even part of the plan. There are other things that they need to spend money on.
Do you know what I mean?
There are other things they need to spend time on.
Do you know what I mean?
You know?
So we see things and we see the opportunities because we've come from places that has a system.
That's what we see.
That's what we see. Yes. But if you did that road, people are driving quicker. They save money on petrol. They buy this for their kids. They do that. They open shop. You collect more taxes. Why don't you collect that? Because that's all we know.
Yes.
But then, like I said, do you empower people to the point where now they are questioning your work?
That's definitely something we need to discuss another time.
Yeah.
I've enjoyed this conversation. What? You know, the whole conversation around getting to understand people is what I'm going to be thinking about, at least onto the next episode that we have.
You need a reachable, teachable moment with people. And you can only get a reachable, teachable moment with people if you understand why they do that.
Right.
And we're coming from a place where we don't have time anyway.
Mm.
You come on holiday, you're here for a month, you have to go and see your grandma, you have to go and do a business, you have to go and see your land, you have to go and do your Ghana card, you have to chill some more, you have to take the few pictures. You haven't got time to sit down with somebody and understand why they do what they do.
Yeah.
But if you took time and said, but why do you keep giving that person stuff for free? You know you're not supposed to. Why is that? There it is.
Uh-huh. But I was in a mamayario.
Then you say, but the hospital,
yes.
If you go to the hospital and you don't have money, what happens?
Yes.
What would they say to you? When you go to ECG and your credit runs out, what happens? What does ECG do for you?
Mm.
When you don't have credit on your phone, what happens? So the people that you're saying these things to, they understand systems. They understand that in certain businesses, certain services, if you don't have money, you don't pay. So you are not doing anything different.
Mm.
And they'll be like,
okay. Now, yeah, things are beginning to happen there.
Okay, all right. Okay, I can say that.
Yeah.
Because they understand the system. There are systems where if you don't have money, you don't get service.
Yes.
But if you don't understand them, you can't give them that example. But you do know that this person who came here, they can't go to the hospital if they don't have money.
Mm.
They can't buy light if they don't have money. They don't have free light if they don't have money. Mm. Their phone don't work if they don't have money. And we operate a similar system.
Right.
So now I'm comfortable now because you reminded me of something I didn't know.
Yeah.
But if you didn't understand them.
Chaos.
It's chaos. And then you sat them. You get the next person, they do the same thing.
We've done that plenty.
Yeah.
You've done 70. I've done 16.
Yeah. So it takes a while to understand. And even if you explain to them, it may take a while for them to actually apply that.
Yes.
Because now I understand, but it's still not right.
Yeah. I mean, change take a while.
Yeah.
Change take a while.
But if you understand it takes a while and I don't pay you next month because I don't have money from that woman that was dying. Maybe. But you're in a good place.
Yeah.
Keep up the good work. Wow. Pills doctor.
Wow. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. It's been an awesome time. And I think I definitely want to have you back.
Definitely.
You know, so we can do another episode.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's so much that we can discuss that I don't think we've even had the chance to touch on all of them.
Thank you for having me, man.
Thanks a lot. What?
Connected minds.
Connected minds. Thank you so much, guys, for listening to us, watching us. Go get that book on Tangling Process. I'm sure it's on Amazon, audiobooks and whatever. Just find it and then listen to it because it's important, you know, that we get the understanding of the decisions that we are making and the people that we are working with.
Yes.
Wish you guys all the best.